What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome into Lineup Logic, the daily fantasy podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate to come. Sean Kane here, your host. Got a nice 15-game Friday slate going on for you. I'm in the midst of course, tilting this short Thursday slate. So we are we're enjoying that to some degree. this Baltimore Texas game keeps getting close to blowing up, and I'm hoping it will. We'll see. But we got 15 games to worry about on Friday. I got my man Josh Fernandez over here to jump in for the player breakdown, as always. And before we do that, I just want to remind people, guys, if you haven't checked out the review situation, the review retweet, guys, review the pod. You get entered in a giveaway. You let me know that you retweeted and reviewed the pod. You get entered in a giveaway for some preseason fantasy football reading material on me, your choice. I'm giving away three different books. Great books. Jonathan Bales, Fantasy Football for Smart People, the Fantasy Football Black Book, and one more that I always forget which one it is. But yeah, that's where we're at, man. So review the podcast if you haven't done it already. It takes you guys 5 minutes. It's a massive help to us. If you're not already subscribed, patreon.com/lineuplogic, $10. You get the month, man. You know, we got a new month coming up here too, August, very shortly. So always great tool, you know, like we say, a great tool for recreational players, a cheat sheet, a reference sheet that, you know, at $10 a month is one of the cheapest things in the industry. It's not, you're not paying a provider, okay? You are building your own lineups. You're using it as a reference point in addition to the podcast, in addition to whatever other research you have. So it's a good, solid, easy-to-use resource for recreational players. And hey, man, it's good stuff. It's been productive, you know. So without further ado, we got 15 games, so I'm not going to waste too much time. I'm going to jump straight in here and get after these games. So let's take a look at what we got on this Friday slate. All right, so, well, okay, I lied. I'm sorry. 14 games, because you got the Cubs on the afternoon game there in Wrigley, the 2 o'clock, as they always like to do. So it starts in Baltimore. Michael Fiers versus Ubaldo Jimenez. The Astros come to Camden. Yikes. Astros versus Ubaldo. This is a must-have situation. Yeah, you're going to have some of this game. 11 total here. Both teams projected over 5. Pretty impressive. Michael Fiers, you know, had a really nice run back there, and he's still on it, man. He had a gem against Minnesota, but for whatever reason, Vegas does not like his game here. I don't know. I don't know about that. Fiers has been pitching really, really well, and the Orioles, well, we know what the Orioles do. They strike out quite a bit. So I'm interested in this game. Brewers-Phillies, 8.5 runs projected with Matt Garza versus Aaron Nola. Phillies favored in this one. Aaron Nola getting some respect. Brewers projected under 4 runs. That's not bad. You got some cheap Phillies in this, you know, in this lineup that you could certainly take advantage of. You know, the young guys at the top, Freddy Galvis, Nick Williams, these young guys, Daniel Nava, these guys are going to be kind of at the top of this cheap lineup for the Phillies. They're getting these prospects ready for the next, you know, the next level of this team. So plenty of good at bats for those cheap Phillies bats. So you can keep looking at that, man. Against Matt Garza, makes a lot of sense. Texas Rangers, Rays, 7.5 runs projected in Tampa Bay, and both of these teams projected under 4 runs. Yu Darvish versus Alex Cobb. I don't know about that. I mean, Texas versus Cobb, he's had some really, really nice outings recently. just the season-long statistics would indicate that Cobb is due for some regression. We'll see, though. We'll see. And, of course, you get the Rays versus a righty, but Yu Darvish has been pretty solid in the Rays, not lighting it up like they were earlier in the year. Blue Jays, Indians, 9.5 runs projected in Progressive Field. Indians are favored. They're pitching Trevor Bauer versus Marco Estrada. You know, Indians are definitely rock solid against right-handed pitching. So we can certainly look at the Indians in this spot versus Estrada, who we know he gives up the home run ball. So could be an interesting spot for the Indians. Marlins, Reds, 10 runs projected here. And I love this game. I love Great American Ballpark, man. You guys see how many runs are happening in Great American right now. Jose Urena versus Homer Bailey. I like both sides of it. Both of these guys have a possibility of getting lit up. That could be a wonderful game stack. Oakland versus the Mets, 9 runs projected here as Paul Blackburn goes up against Steven Matz. Man, Oakland is bad against lefties, but Steven Matz is not a good pitcher, so we're not pitching him in the Mets against Blackburn. This should definitely could definitely be a nice spot to target the Mets. They continue to be productive in certain situations, and Blackburn, young guy who has certainly struggled a little bit. Tigers, Twins, 9.5 runs projected here. Anibal Sanchez versus Ervin Santana. Twins favored in this one. Kind of hard to get an understanding of what Sanchez is going to bring. You know, he's had one or two gems, but he's had some really bad starts as well. So, what are you going to get from Anibal Sanchez? I have honestly no idea. The Twins cooling off a little bit, but had a nice game. Well, that's not true. They had a nice game against the Yankees, but just before they took a break today. White Sox Royals, 10 runs projected here. And this game is another, I think, sleepy game stack, although I wish it was in Chicago. But when the Royals are projected for 5.7 runs in Kauffman, you got to pay attention here. James Shields versus Ian Kennedy. White Sox projected for over 4 because Kennedy just gives up so much hard contact. Issue with the White Sox is they just don't really have any lefties. That's Kennedy's issue. So I don't think we're going to pitch him here, but this is definitely an interesting game to target. Pirates, Rockies, and Coors, 11.5 runs projected here. Trevor Williams versus Jeff Hoffman. Rockies favored in this one. I get it, but the Pirates' offense has certainly been more impressive of late. You know, they get a massive ballpark upgrade over PNC. So I think it's interesting to look at the Pirates in this series. You know, kind of all weekend long, I think you could go to them. Jeff Hoffman has regressed in a massive way. His numbers just aren't sticking anymore like they were earlier in the year. Nationals, Diamondbacks, Max Scherzer versus Zach Godley. No line out in this one. I think that they're waiting for Arizona to confirm that Godley is going to be the starter. They had that mix-up today with Taijuan Walker and Patrick Corbin. So certainly a great spot for Scherzer, even though the Diamondbacks in the desert against a righty, well, that's a tough spot. But Scherzer, numbers are just insane. You can't deny the man for what his numbers here. So you gotta like Scherzer. We'll wait to see what this line is at. My guess would be is 3.9 implied for maybe Arizona, 4-1, something like that. Red Sox Angels, 7 runs projected in Anaheim. Chris Sale versus Ricky Nolasco. I don't get it. Chris Sale is a -200 favorite, but it's currently set at a pick 'em. So I don't know. Vegas is being tricky with this one. Red Sox only projected for 3.5 runs versus Nolasco. That makes sense. They've been pretty mediocre of late, although they did have a nice productive day today. That whole game in Fenway was really pretty productive. I don't know. I mean, obviously a great spot for Chris Sale, but Angels proved the other night against Gio that they're actually hitting lefties a little bit. So, you know, be careful what you wish for, I guess. Yankees, Mariners, 9 runs projected here. CC Sabathia versus Andrew Moore. dead even heat, 4.5 runs for both teams here. That's kind of a high total for Mariners, you know, for Safeco. Certainly interesting. Andrew Moore, this guy, some good starts, some serviceable starts from him, and then some just absolutely terrible spots. So, you know, you got to love the Yankees against a righty here. CC Sabathia coming back. He pitched, remember he was out for a good amount in July, came back before the All-Star break, had one terrible outing against Toronto, and then one rock-solid start against Boston. So, I don't know. Interesting spot for CC. Don't know what you're going to get out of him. Braves-Dodgers, Jaime Garcia was projected to start here, but he just got traded to the Twins. So I don't think you're going to see Jaime Garcia. I don't know who you're going to see for the Braves in this situation. Dodgers are pitching Alex Wood, so we know what that means. Braves against a lefty, not hitting the ball that hard. Alex Wood, he's not letting anybody hit the ball hard. So Alex Wood will be the chalk, no doubt about it in my mind, and chalk for a reason. He is excellent. Padres, Giants, 7.5 runs here. Padres projected for only 3.3 runs as they go up against Jeff Samardzija, and the Giants go up against Trevor Cahill. Trevor Cahill has some unbelievable numbers of late. No doubt. He's had some excellent starts. He's had some difficult starts, but he has been, you know, consistently solid, I think. I think that's fair to say. I don't know what else to say, man. You look at the metrics on this guy. He's having a renaissance of sorts. Samardzija, how his ERA is so bad with the advanced numbers the way that they are between the contact, the walk rate, everything is very solid. And you look at the ERA, it just doesn't make sense. I have no idea why and how it happens, but it does. So what are you going to do? Certainly a good spot. You get a lot of strikeouts out of that Padres lineup against a righty. So that's it. 14 games, like I said. Outliers, Baltimore. The Baltimore-Houston game, 11 runs projected there. Cincinnati-Miami, 10 runs projected there. 10 runs projected in Kansas City for the White Sox-Royals. 11.5 projected in Coors. And on the opposite end, you gotta love Alex Wood. Only you implied 2.6 run total implied for the Braves. That is by far the best as well. Just a 7 run total in Anaheim for the Chris Sale, Ricky Nolasco matchup. So that is certainly something to pay attention to as well as, Tampa Bay, Texas, that is a low total for two teams that can make hard contact. So definitely interesting to, we'll be paying attention, see if any of these lines move, see how the public's reacting to them. But without further ado, let's not waste too much time. We got plenty of games to talk about, so let's jump into the player breakdown and figure out who we love. Who do you love? 2-1. All right, jumping into the player breakdown now. I got my man Josh Fernandez. Fern, we're at the end of the long week. Got a cold one. Mm-hmm. How we doing, my friend?
I'm good, man. I'm good. First of all, glad to be back again on another Thursday night for the Friday slate. And just drinking a Southern Tier Brewing Company Tangier IPA brewed with tangerine peels. It's interesting. Fun. Why the hell not?
I got one. I got an import here. It's New Glarus Spotted Cow. For all my Wisconsin listeners, you know exactly what I'm talking about. My father-in-law came in from Wisconsin, brought me some New Glarus Spotted Cow, great little Kolsch summer beer. So,
see, I love my, and my wife is going to hear me saying this in the other room, but I love my father-in-law, but if I ask him to bring me some beer, he just bring me Corona.
There you go, baby.
Hey, I'm not going to complain about a Corona. No, you pop a lime in there, you know.
Yeah, man. I was going to say, you got a lime and it's ice cold. I'm not mad at you.
Yeah. But no, doing well. Just, enjoying the return here of baseball. Things are getting back to normal and, doing well managing the bankroll and controlling, you know, controlling my emotions, I guess you'd say. Having a good time. No, not tilting too hard. And if you saw on Twitter, a couple of people, you know, were in on a little mini conversation there for a minute. I posted my current bankroll and I just cashed everything out at the All-Star break and said, I'm going to leave $8 in there and see what I can do. And just do $4 a day, you know, $1 in the single entry and then $1 in the three max GPPs. And on a little mini heater here, up to $39, starting with $8. And I think that this, you know, for anyone listening out there who feels like you can't build a bankroll by going small and just not getting carried away, you know, you can. You just got to be patient. You know, it's not a race.
Definitely. I think that that's key, is you got to make sure that you're patient. You take it easy. You don't overexpose yourself. And, hey, you know what? We're not trying to pay the mortgage with our DFS winnings. We're trying to have fun. And that's, you know, something that we've always talked about on this show. So speaking of fun, we got a 15 gamer here, Fern. We got some really interesting options at pitcher. So let's jump in here.
Yeah.
You know, it starts with Mad Max. He is, you know, I don't know if you could call it a perfect situation, but good gracious, this guy is absolutely fucking insane how good he is. He is going into Arizona in the desert, walking in the door in Chase Field. He carries a 35% strikeout rate with a 16% swinging strike rate. 29% K to walk ratio. That's a K to walk ratio that some people can't even sniff just as a K ratio. That's insane. Of course, now it does come with an unfortunate 47% fly ball rate. And, you know, that is not my favorite thing in the desert. You know, that's not a bad fly ball rate to attack if you saw that from another pitcher. But when people are only making 26% hard contact, you kind of love what you see here. Sierra of 2.7, XFIP of 3.09. Scherzer is just on an absolute tear. You know, double-digit strikeouts in all but one of his games since the end of May. Since May 26, he has had double-digit strikeouts in every single game except for one against the Cubs. Unbelievable season for Max Scherzer right now. If he is not the NL Cy Young right now, it just doesn't, the voting, something's wrong. Okay, so I don't know. The question is, first of all, against the Diamondbacks, right? We know the Diamondbacks against right-handed pitching. We just saw them today in Great American Ballpark light up the Reds. They are a dangerous team against righties. You know, only a 21% strikeout rate, 95 WRC plus in the last month. Right there in the middle. But with the addition of JD Martinez, you got to think that they're going to continue to trend up. Chase Field, not a great place for pitchers. How do you feel about Scherzer and Chase Field right now?
He could be pitching on the moon, and I would feel pretty good about him.
Fair enough.
I mean, honestly, it's just like, look, you know, we all know that if you're going to use Arizona bats, you only use them against right-handed pitchers. You just
right.
You do not. I mean, we saw what Jaime Garcia did to them the other day. And, you know, it's just evidence that even a lower skilled pitcher, a left-handed pitcher, can dominate them. You know, so we use them against right-handers. But you said it, Sean. I mean, Max is just on another level. I mean, this year is, you know, looking like it's going to be the best of his career. I mean, he's just doing everything right. I just don't see, you know, how you can truly, you know, be afraid to use him against anybody. I mean, maybe Houston, I don't know, like that would give me pause, but he seems like he's just automatic, you know, for – an elite outing every time out. So Chase Field, Coors Field, I don't care. I love him.
Yeah, that's a good call. I mean, the pivot over to Sale, you're going to talk about Chris Sale. The pivot over to Sale is intensely appealing, you know, just because of the ballpark upgrade in Los Angeles. I mean, you know, talk me out of Scherzer to get to Sale. You're not going to have to twist my arm to do that. I mean, right?
Well, you know, it's not as big of a gap between them as I think a lot of people think. And the reason why is, I mean, you start with that K rate for the teams themselves. Looking here for Arizona. Yeah, so Arizona's overall K rate is 22.9%, which is near the top of the league. Just in general, they strike out more than average. And the Angels are at 18.1%, which is very close to the bottom for least strikeouts in the league. So you have a team in Arizona that's obviously more dangerous from a power perspective, from a base-stealing perspective, just from an explosiveness point of view. And then you have the Angels, who are just a solid offense. You know, they're not going to terrify anybody by any stretch of the imagination, but they're a team that, you know, they won't really beat themselves with the strikeout. Now, yeah, they are near the bottom of the league in, or I shouldn't say bottom of the league. I guess when we're using pitchers and targeting teams, they're at the bottom. They are at the top of the league with a low K rate, a low swinging strike rate. You know, they don't chase pitches outside of the zone, and they make contact when pitchers offer pitches within the zone. They do things well from a contact and avoiding a strikeout perspective. But here's the thing, Chris Sale, I mean, his K rate is otherworldly. He's checking in with a 36.4% K rate, which is just a hair more than Scherzer. I mean, these guys are just unreal. It's like video game stuff. I mean, yeah. So when you look at that ability to strike batters out, they're neck and neck in K rate, swinging strike rate, contact within the zone, you know, throwing pitches within the zone. Sale walks a little bit less than Scherzer. They both throw a lot of first pitch strikes. You know, Sale does give up a little bit harder contact than Scherzer. Maybe that's, you know, you could attribute that to him pitching in the American League, and just over a large sample size, there's just one extra position player batter that he has to face, you know, a few times right out versus a pitcher. I don't know. But the bottom line is like Scherzer is the right-handed Chris Sale, and Chris Sale is the left-handed Max Scherzer.
There you go.
So yeah, you just have to determine, what am I more concerned about? The fact that the Angels don't strike out a lot, or the fact that the Diamondbacks have that ability to hit three homers? And as we all know, Scherzer can give up a few homers.
Yeah, I think that that's exactly right. I think you're probably going to see the more of the ownership gravitate towards Sale, just because of the narrative that, you know, the Angels are, you know, an impotent offense. You know,
But we all know that those impotent offenses, you know, like the Pirates, for example, can right really put a damper on a pitcher's final line. Sure, he'll give up one or two earned runs, three earned runs. Like a pitcher will face the Pirates and give up a couple earned runs. But he only strikes out, you know, last week maybe he struck out eight Phillies. Right. This week he strikes out three Pirates. And those three strikeouts, that's going to kill you. I mean, not many pitchers, you know, can return a really good line with three strikeouts, you know?
That's absolutely true.
Now, that said, real quick, you know, and then we can move on to our pivots, unless you want to add anything after I just mentioned this.
Well, like, the thing is, well, the other thing ahead is, Angels, well, we're talking about the Angels, 32% hard contact rate, which is top 10 in the last 30 days against left-handed pitching. Now, am I overthinking this? Yeah, I mean, this isn't the fucking Tigers, but – You know, that's nothing to sneeze at. I mean, you have righties in this lineup who can hit lefties, you know, Mike Trout included. So it's not like it's a sure thing to play this ballpark and this low K team. I think, you know, Arizona, if anything, what you're offering up is more strikeout potential. And similarly, only a 28% hard contact rate in the last 30 days to, well, not to right-handed pitching. Sorry, that's to left-handed pitching. Wrong split. But anyway, all right. So, real quick, I just want to add one thing
is that, yes, you know, the Angels minimize their strikeouts and Sale is just exceptional. So why don't we call it in the middle here and we go from 36 K rate down to, you know, say 26 K rate. Okay. Yeah. He goes 7 innings, gives up, say, 5 base runners. That means he'll face 26 batters. If he gets the win, the quality start, K's 26% of the batters he faces, which is 26, as I mentioned. That's 7 Ks. Give up 1 earned run, let's say. That's still 48 points. Now, that's right. The thing is, in a GPP, can you deal with just 48 points from Chris Sale? I don't think so. So in a cash game, knock yourself out. But in a tournament, I'm going Scherzer most likely if I'm paying up at pitcher, just because I can't stomach paying this salary and just getting 48 to 52 points.
Yeah.
You know,
I hear that. I think that's fair. You know, I think a lot of the pivots that are on the board are going to be pretty popular, too. I mean, not the least of which is Alex Wood. You know, we were going to talk about him at the end here. But, I mean, versus the Braves. The Braves in, you know, on the road here, as a lefty, you immediately neutralize. You're immediately neutralizing, you know, the power bats of Freddie Freeman and Matt Adams. Okay? And Atlanta versus left-handed pitching, 28th in the league. At a 23% hard contact rate in the last 30 days. Alex Wood doesn't allow hard contact anyway. So, I mean, you got to even wonder if they're going to hit the fucking ball.
Right.
I mean, so Alex Wood is very, very much in play. And actually, I think he probably will be just as popular as Scherzer and Sale. The problem is, you know, we know with his limited innings, he may not have nearly as not limited innings. That's not fair. That's a generalization. You know, will he get those strikeouts? Will he offer you more upside than a Scherzer who is, you know, a maniac?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, you have to acknowledge those limited innings. I mean, just from a innings pitch per game started, you know, point of view, I mean, Scherzer and Sale average 7 point, well, it's 7.1, not necessarily 7 1/3. They basically average 7 innings per start, and Alex Wood averages a hair under 6 innings per start.
Right.
And that one extra, 1 1/3 extra innings is, you know, that's potentially, you know, a couple Ks, and, of course, the 3-4 points for the outs that he records. So, right. You know, we're talking another 10 points just from the fact that those guys go deeper into games more often than Wood does, even though Wood, from a skill point of view, is right there with them.
Right, as a real-life pitcher. Yeah, right, his numbers are insane. But, I mean, it's a little bit, you know, you see just last game against Miami, only 4 Ks in that stretch. And Atlanta, if nothing else, is a disciplined team at the plate.
They are, so, absolutely.
I think there's some guys that could offer you some strikeout upside. You know, so let's talk about some of these guys. I want to look at Aaron Nola. Dude has been, first of all, the Brewers are striking out at an unbelievable rate. They made the Pirates pitching staff this last series look like absolutely unbelievable. You know, Jameson Taillon and
Gerrit Cole
just were fanning everyone. Now, those two guys have been very good in their own right, but Milwaukee augments your strikeout ability right now in a massive, massive way. So, you know, they come over to Philadelphia, not a great ballpark for pitchers, but Aaron Nola is certainly trending in the right direction while Milwaukee's trending in the wrong direction. Since before the All-Star break, man, this guy has had since June 22nd, okay, so last five starts for him, he has had a minimum of seven strikeouts, a quality start in all of those. In three of those games, he went seven innings pitch. In one of those games, he went eight innings pitch. Now, his most recent outing against Milwaukee in Milwaukee was six innings pitch with seven strikeouts. So I don't love that his most recent start was just against Milwaukee. That familiarity kind of sometimes gives me the jitters. But only two earned runs, seven Ks. It's a pretty good price tag for a guy who has the capability of racking up, you know, eight innings and eight strikeouts. I really, really like this spot for Nola. He's just, you know, we kind of knew that this kid had this kind of stuff, but he's really, really, really showing it right now. And this is definitely a good spot to go after him while his cost continues to rise, because I think, you know, it's not too much of a secret that this kid has been this good of late. 24% strikeout rate, 10% swinging strike rate, only a 32% hard contact rate, XFIP Sierra 3.6 and 3.8. So very, very solid in that respect. And of course, we see him trending in the right direction. You see him trending in the right direction in June and July, you know, where in July, for example, his K rate has gone all the way up to 28%, whereas in, you know, all the way back in May, it was only 20%. Walk rate's going down. His K-to-walk ratio looks rock solid. I mean, the kid is just trending in the right direction, so we kind of want to get on him. Are you worried about the home run possibility here in Philadelphia?
I'm honestly not worried about it. I mean, the ballpark plays well for home runs.
Right.
And yes, the Brewers are tops in baseball in home run to fly ball ratio, second in fly ball percentage. So they do hit a lot of fly balls. They hit them out of the park. They're not. I'm looking at the wrong column here. They're number one in home run to fly ball ratio. They're kind of middle of the road in fly balls. They do hit a lot of line drives. I mean, they're a softball team, you know.
Right.
They play beer league softball. I mean, you look at their numbers. I mean, they're second in highest K rate, number one in the league in swinging strike rate, number one in the league. And I'm saying number one is that they have the highest swinging strike rate. They have the lowest contact rate on pitches in the zone, and they will offer at pitches thrown outside of the zone. And when you are selecting a pitcher, you know, you want to make sure that not only is this guy a quality pitcher, but can he strike guys out? And I mean, you said it, you know, I mean, Nola, I mean, I don't know if he's still a diamond in the rough kind of secret with the average player, but he, in a slate like this, I think that people are going to get a little scared of the Brewers. And look, I read this quote this weekend. So I was reading a book on Texas Hold'em, and there is a poker player named Sam Farha. He was like in all the WSOP events, like back in the early and mid 2000s. And he was quoted as saying, in order to live, you have to be willing to die. And I think that's the mentality you have to take with the Brewers, is when you pick a pitcher, anytime you see the Brewers on the slate, as long as that guy can strike some guys out, you know, and he's a decent pitcher, right, you just got to be willing to die with that guy. And right, if you are, the Brewers can give you a huge opportunity to get a serious return on your investment. So I think that, you know, honestly, just from my mentality right now, like Thursday night, like I'm heavily, heavily leaning towards using Nola. over Scherzer and Sale and Wood in GPPs just because I can save money. I'm going to definitely get ownership, and the upside is huge. I mean, we just saw, like you mentioned, Gerrit Cole. I used him the other night, and what did he return? Like 50 points or something?
50 points.
Yeah. So, same, I mean, Nola's been pitching like an ace.
Kershaw the night before.
Right. And Nola's been pitching like an ace. I mean,
he's been excellent.
Everything you look at, I mean, he has given up a little bit of hard contact, but, you know, other than that, he's pristine.
Yeah. No. The opposite could be said from a guy who, I don't know how to make heads or tails of this guy, Fern, but it certainly is a matchup that offers a lot of upside. I mean, do we feel like Samardzija can get through a game without giving up 4 or 5 runs? I mean, the dude he gets the strikeouts, but good gracious.
All right. Okay. So, yeah, before we talk about Samardzija, I just want to take this opportunity to very briefly, and Sean and I, listeners, we were talking before we started recording just about some ideas that are floating around in our noggins. And I definitely want to make like a video series, you know, over the next couple weeks, months, whatever, on introducing you guys to new or unknown, I guess, relatively unknown statistics and metrics that you can use in your research process. And something I came across recently is ERA minus, FIP minus, and XFIP minus. And all they are the pitching version of WRC plus and OPS plus. So a lot of us use WRC plus, you know, in our process when we're picking, you know, teams to stack or hitters to use, because they give us a nice, easy to digest number. 100 is league average. Anything above it is above average. Anything below it is below average. So it's a pretty simple way to just have a quick glance, you know, an at a glance look at a guy and say, oh, okay, so he is above average. You know, if it's a 105, he's 5% above average. Okay. And it is awesome because it incorporates park factors and league adjustments. So I really am excited about ERA minus, FIP minus, and XFIP minus. And like I said, I plan on making a video about this statistic, these statistics, and more. Yeah. So I'll go into more detail later. If you have any questions, just hit me up on Twitter about it. So that said, if you look at, oh, and one last thing, ERA minus, okay? ERA minus, just like ERA, it's like the perception of the pitcher, right? An ERA is merely a perception of the pitcher. How do we perceive him if we're not watching him pitch by pitch? And FIP itself, just FIP, not XFIP, FIP is, you know, how good is the pitcher, you know, truly, but it doesn't incorporate luck. And then XFIP does incorporate luck. A pitcher could be getting lucky and getting guys to hit a lot of balls to the warning track, but in a lot of parks, those should be out of the park. So XFIP says, hey, this guy's been getting guys to hit a lot of balls to the warning track. He's getting really lucky, you know, so we need to penalize him versus his FIP because the balls are not leaving the park, whereas other guys are. Okay, hopefully that makes sense. So now let me tell you about Samardzija. Samardzija's ERA minus, right, is extremely, extremely below average. And if you look at his ERA, you know, the number that all of us are very much familiar with, his ERA is, where is it? I just lost it. Oh, there you go, of course. It's 4.86. Okay, that's a bad ERA. Okay, but here's the thing. His FIP minus is, let me go back to my sheet here, is an 86, meaning he's 14% below or above average versus the league. And his XFIP minus is 71. His XFIP minus is as good as Scherzer and a little bit better than Zach Godley. It's better than Aaron Nola, better than Yu Darvish, better than Trevor Cahill, okay? So my conclusion here is that Samardzija has been getting really unlucky, and there's a lot of variance involved with the fact that he is returning such a piss-poor ERA, and I think that he's due for some regression. What a better time to start regressing in a positive way than against the Padres, okay? We know that Samardzija can strike guys out. He's got a 26.4% K rate. He can generate some swinging strikes. He can get guys to chase pitches. He's not afraid to pump his pitches in the zone. You know, he's a competent control master, only walks 2.7% of batters, which is outstanding. But if you look at his home run to fly ball ratio and his line drive rates, they're pretty high. And I think that those are so high that they're unsustainably high and they're going to come back. So we want to get on this Samardzija train when he starts positively regressing before the masses do. And right. I think it's going to start with the Padres. And I don't think, Sean, I need to spend more than 20 seconds on the Padres. This is a team that strikes out the most in the league. They strike out swinging, so it's not like pitchers are getting lucky and the umpires are calling balls on the, you know, corners or anything. Like, they swing and miss, and they can't hit balls, you know, in the zone. They don't hit for power, and they're just not an efficient offense. They have the second worst WOBA in all of baseball, and for those of you who are traditionalists, they have the third worst batting average in all of baseball, team batting average. Yeah. So I really, really feel good about Samardzija in this situation. I just think everything is lined up for him to start this regression back to the mean, and the Padres offer just a great opportunity for him to just really pop, and people are going to say, why the hell did I not use Samardzija against the freaking Padres?
Yeah, I think that's probably fair. I mean, he's one of those guys that has the ability to get you, you know, seven innings, seven strikeouts. And there's not always a lot of guys. And he's going to do it at a discount. He's going to do it at leverage because people are, you know, aware of the narrative that he just gives up too many runs. But you get that huge ballpark behind him. I think you're right. I think you have to look at him in this situation. All right, you know, there's a couple more punts. And, Fern, I don't think people realize how good Trevor Cahill has been this year.
Like, oh, man.
It's unbelievable, really, if you look at some of the stuff that he has been doing. The dude owns a 29% strikeout rate and a 13% swinging strike rate. K to walk ratio 21%, inducing 56% ground balls. Okay, only 26% fly ball rate, only allowing 30% hard contact. It's unbelievable to me that a guy who, you know, the Cubs just kind of ditched to the Padres here in this situation has been so, so excellent. You know, he's not giving up any sort of hard contact. His FIP and XFIP, his XFIP to left-handed batters is 2.9 as a righty. His home run per nine is 0.67. He's actually striking out 30% of left-handers, which is what you worry about with the San Francisco Giants. So he goes up from Petco. He goes into that massive ballpark. And I just think that, like, if you don't, if, you know, as much attention as we can pay to Samardzija here, we have to pay just as much attention to Cahill, because it is just unbelievable how excellent he has been in this situation. You know, the Giants are pretty terrible against right-handed pitching. 20% K rate, you know, in the last 30 days, and only a 76 WRC plus. They're swinging. They're not hitting anything. You know, they are really struggling. And then you get the best ballpark in the league. This is one of the lowest totals on the slate, so Vegas agrees with me. You know, I don't know. I mean, Cahill just, he's been impressive. He's been under the radar. He just pitched this game against the Giants. Fern, I'm going to give you one guess. I'm going to give you one guess at how many fantasy points he had.
Oh, man. I don't have it in front of me, so I'm going to have to guess.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You have to guess. If you had it in front of you, it wouldn't be a guess.
Yeah, right, exactly. How about, let's say, 45?
How about 51?
Damn,
right? I mean, that's impressive.
How many guys did he K?
Eight.
Damn, dude.
So I think Cahill very much in play in this situation. Samardzija and Cahill, man. Hey, if you're over on DraftKings, play them both.
Yeah. I mean, that'll definitely differentiate you because, I mean, that's one of the best strategies on DK and also in FanDuel mix-ups, as long as, you know, the theme of the week is not blocking out, like, both, you know, one of the teams. But stacking the guys. Dude, holy shit, what if you would have stacked Chris Tillman and Andrew Cashner the other night? You would have had some balls of steel.
Yeah.
That was some crap. Dude, Cahill, one blemish with Cahill. It nibbles too much.
Yeah.
He has the second worst zone percentage on the slate, meaning he is the second least likely behind Zach Godley to throw the ball in the zone. So he nibbles, and he has an 8.3% walk rate. That said, and everything else is – I mean, the home run to fly ball rate's a little high. But here's the thing. When we're picking up a pitcher or we're picking a team, everything starts with the pitcher. And when you're picking your pitcher, you want to see what does he do exceptionally well and what does he do exceptionally bad. And you want to focus on that. He exceptionally well so far this year in striking guys out and inducing – swinging strikes, right? And
ground balls.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's really bad at being efficient.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. The Giants are not a team that takes a lot of walks, and they're not a team that hits a lot of home runs.
No.
So you don't have to worry about them hitting dingers, and you don't have to worry about them walking you to death like they're the Cubs or something. So I like this spot for him. And yeah, I agree. Like a double stack of these guys on DK, that's a nice strategy there. Save you some money.
Yeah, no, it's definitely going to be fun. There's so many options. Like, you know, that there are a lot of viable tournament pitchers. And you're targeting a guy who this one's going to be low owned firm for sure.
Oh yeah. Yu Darvish against the Rays. Here's the thing.
What about Mikey Mike?
Oh shoot. Yeah. Okay. I'm jumping the gun here.
Mike spit hot fires. Yeah. We'll talk about Yu in a minute. We're going to talk about that Tampa Bay game.
Yes.
Because the Vegas total is eye-poppingly low, but talk about Mike Fiers
first. Yeah, sorry about that, guys. Yeah, Mike Fiers. Okay, so Mike Fiers, I mean, this is, you know, kind of just a blah pitcher. I mean, he doesn't do anything. I mean, he does few things horribly, and he does few things great. I mean, really doesn't do anything great, to be honest with you. But he's not going to kill you. You know, we look at this guy's numbers. We can start with my new best friend, ERA minus, FIP minus, XFIP minus. ERA minus is 89. XFIP minus is 97. Both are league average, you know, more or less. Well, less. And the FIP minus is 119. That is really high. So what that's saying to me is that he is just experiencing some bad luck
because his XFIP is telling us that a lot of the balls that are going out of the yard are ones that should stay in the yard. And you and I talked about this recently, Sean. Houston Minute Maid is the number one ballpark in baseball for cheapest home runs to left field, I guess by right-handed hitters or left-handed hitters, the cheapest home runs to left field because of the Crawford box.
Right.
So my guess is that his FIP is inflated by the fact that he is pitching, you know, whatever, half his games at Minute Maid, where it's super easy to hit balls out of the yard to left field. And he does, you know, give up a lot of his quality contact to right-handed hitters. So right. That's just my hypothesis there. I'm thinking that he is just experiencing some bad luck. But looking at everything else, I mean, fires, 26% K rate, you know, 9.8% swinging strike rate, 87% zone contact, 46% zone percentage. Okay, all of those are average. Average strikeout to walk ratio, average hard contact. Like, the guy is just an average pitcher. And when you take an average pitcher and you put him against a team that is a strikeout team that doesn't take walks, is not a disciplined team, you know, is another one of those, like the Brewers, another softball team, he has huge potential, huge upside to return a lot of value. So Fires visiting the Orioles, I mean, the Orioles, they're just not a good team. You know, every once in a while, they'll blow up and they'll score 8 runs and hit a bunch of like solo homers because that's what they do, you know.
Right.
But most of the time, they are a team, again, like the Brewers, that, you know, you have to be willing to die in order to live. And I am willing to throw a line with Fires out there with full confidence that he's going to get me at least 40 points. Because like I said, this Orioles team is just not that worrisome to me. I mean, they are most likely going to underperform against him and give us some nice return on our investment with Mikey F.
You know, here's the crazy thing, Fern. We talked about this. I talked about this in June, early in June when I was doing the show. Mike Fiers was a home run machine. Like, I remember we called him the human home run derby on one show because his numbers for home run to fly ball ratio early in the season were like some of the worst in the league, like almost 20%, 30%. You're talking about, first of all, the fact that it's very easy to give up home runs in Houston. Then we talked about how he just stopped using one of his pitches, and I forget which one it was. He just stopped throwing it, and basically he eliminated the home run issue. It was a slider. He just stopped throwing his slider.
Mm-hmm.
He just completely stopped using it. He started using his cutter a little bit more. He started using his curveball more and his changeup more. And he just stopped using his slider completely because it wasn't working for him. And he did not give up one home run in the month of June. 5 starts, not one home run in the month of June. And in July, his K rate has jumped up to 28%. So, you know, he has been really, really pretty good since they figured out what works and what doesn't work. I tend to agree with you. I don't know, though, you know, if you're a person who believes that a team is getting hot, Baltimore Orioles are getting hot. They are. They are putting up runs. You know, we have back-to-back nights here where they are putting up multiple home runs. So in that respect, I could see you saying, I don't trust it. You know, I don't trust it. Once a gas can, always a gas can. But there is a lot of evidence that proves that Mike Fiers Baltimore should not be implied for 5 runs in this situation. And what a good transition. Well, actually, wait. We got to talk about quickly. 7.5 runs projected in the trop for Yu Darvish versus Alex Cobb. What do you make of it, Josh?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, Texas, I mean, I don't care about tonight, you know, whatever. They're facing freaking Wade Miley, who is just a turd. I mean, Texas sucks. Like, their offense sucks. They are not good. I'm sorry if anybody is, you know, still buying the narrative that the Rangers are like a potent offense. They're not. They're really not.
Hurting my feelings, Josh.
Yeah. All right. Well, how dare I? How dare I? I triggered you. Look.
Yeah.
You know,
it's because I roster them too much. I fall for, but I mean, here's the
thing. I do too, man. I do too.
37% hard contact against right-handed pitching. I just don't know when this team is going to show up and when they're going to strike out 12
times. They just don't show up, dude. They, you know, and there's a lot of teams. Like, let me sort here by hard contact. Okay. Teams that hit the ball hard. And
sometimes don't show up.
Right. Okay, yeah. The Tigers. Well, I guess the Tigers show up more than... Okay, so here you go. The Mets. The Rays. The Brewers. The Athletics. The Rangers.
I know. Hard hit rate can be deceiving.
Yeah. So
it's frustrating, though, because it can also be really informative, you know, because it shows just basically the, you know... I don't know, but I guess the question is like, Alex Cobb, like...
Yeah.
What do we see here? I mean, how is Alex Cobb getting so much love? I mean, I guess the ballpark makes a lot of sense. It just feels strange to see such a good line on a pitcher that literally has a 15% strikeout rate.
Yeah, no, Alex Cobb, I mean, well, first of all, you know, Vegas knows much more than you and I, and if they think that Alex Cobb can fare well against Texas, and I tend to agree because I'm just – I don't think that Texas is, you know, playing to their true potential, you know, on the whole as of late, you know, tonight excluded. Obviously, tonight's just a variance point. But, I mean, Cobb, you know, he walks the tightrope. He's not – he's not a bad pitcher, but he is going to pitch to contact. I mean, he is not afraid to throw balls in the strike zone. He doesn't walk a lot of guys, doesn't give up a lot of home runs either, but he will get hit to death. And that's the thing, is I think he matches up well with Texas, because Texas is not going to give like a flurry of hits and beat you with 12 hits and, you know, a bunch of doubles and no homers. You know, they need to get that three run bomb, you know.
Right.
So I think that Cobb, you know, has marginally lines up well with Texas. And then Darvish, I mean, like you just said, he gets the park upgrade. And he's facing a team that swings and misses a lot. And, you know, again, I mean, I keep saying softball team, but this is another softball team. And I think like this whole StatCast era and, you know, batters, you know, across the league, teams across the league buying into changing the the plane of the swing, you know.
Yeah.
And trying to go more of the uppercut swing. You know, I think that that is obviously raising the home run rate, but it's also raising the strikeout rate quite a bit. And Tampa Bay just they fall right in with, you know, Milwaukee, for example, that
right.
you have to take that risk. And it's easier to take that risk, easier when you got a guy like Darvish facing them, who, you know, Yu Darvish is not like an elite arm anymore, but he's a very good arm. And he can come out and put up a line as good as anybody. So I think, you know, if you're trying to differentiate yourself, you know, he's a fine play. You know, obviously his salary is a little prohibitive. He has the fourth highest salary on the slate. But, you know, it's not impossible for him to outscore Sale, Scherzer, and Wood. You know, if Sale... doesn't K a bunch of guys against the Angels, and Scherzer gives up, you know, I don't know why he would, but if he just somehow gets Chase fielded and, you know, Narrative Street, Sean, Narrative Street, former right. team.
Oh, fair enough.
Scherzer against the D-backs.
That would actually probably boost a maniac like him.
Right. And Wood just has Atlanta has a really focused effort against Wood. You know, you could see Darvish outscoring them if he can just kind of carve up the Rays.
There are certain situations when Darvish is in an excellent spot. I don't know. I just feel like this is a game to avoid. You got 15 games. You don't really have to touch it. It's probably going to be underwhelming on all fronts.
What are our slates? That's the other thing. Is the other thing to keep in mind too is if you play alternate slates,
right?
But this will be
this is on the early slate.
Yeah, this is the 7:05 start time. So I don't think that we are going to get like. See, that's one thing I don't like about baseball that they do with basketball is they do give in the NBA. They give us those early turbo slates.
Right.
We never really get a bunch of 7:05 like turbo slate. It's always the 8:00 and 10:00 games.
I have no idea.
I don't know. Well, yeah, no, you're right. You know, at the end of the day, like Darvish is probably a guy to avoid, but you know, whatever. There's like a 5% chance that aforementioned scenario happens.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So,
All right. We got to talk about Coors because it's an interesting matchup here. Colorado coming off that 18 run outing. Unbelievable. Gets Pittsburgh. And they're getting Trevor Williams, who talk about a guy who's just kind of you know, I don't really know what to say about Trevor Williams. He has not been amazing. He has not been.
He's Alex Cobb.
Right. Like, he's pretty middle of the road. He'll come into Coors, you know, as most guys do. He will probably struggle in Coors. No doubt. But I don't know. For me, I think the Pittsburgh side of this is even a little bit more interesting. A massive park upgrade for Pittsburgh. The issue being that they have to go up against Jeff Hoffman. And Jeff Hoffman, you know, had some really, really excellent numbers earlier in the season. Now, he's a good pitcher. Like, let's not get it twisted. I'm not going to, you know, stand up here and say that he's not a good pitcher. But his strikeout rate has certainly gone down. His hard contact rate has certainly gone up. He's pitching in Coors. He's given up quite a few runs of late. I got to think that the Pirates, you know, just loving the fact that they get this massive ballpark as a team that doesn't really hit too many home runs anyway. They're really gonna probably enjoy just knocking balls around the park. But I don't know. Do you have to have Coors tomorrow night, Fern? What is your opinion on Coors tomorrow, Pirates and the Rockies side?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. Like, Hoffman is a solid pitcher. You know, he really is. You know, he's an efficient pitcher. You know, he throws a lot of strikes. You know, he's not going to kill you really anywhere. And Trevor Williams, you know, you said it best. I mean, he's just meh, you know. He's just a guy, but he's not a bad pitcher. You know, another guy who is just, he's not going to kill you. You know, any team, you know, would be fine with him in their rotation. But like I said, it's like these aren't bad pitchers. They're not good pitchers. They're not bad pitchers. You know, I guess I would rather take Hoffman over Williams if I had to, like, pick one for my franchise or gun to my head, you know, roster one on your fantasy team. You know, so I guess if you're like a Coors purist and you're like, I always roster a line, I always game stack Coors, you know, in at least one line, like, go ahead, knock yourself out, you know, but I'm not going to be chasing it. You know, this is not something that is super appealing to me. That said, I do think that Coors might be very friendly to the Pirates. I'm very interested to see the Pirates in Coors because this is I mean, they're an interesting offense. You know, they make a lot of contact. They're an exciting team. You know, they're never going to really kill you if you roster them in fantasy. Like, I'm interested to see what happens there. You know, they intrigue me a bit, but I don't know. Yeah, I don't think I'm going to be chasing them whatsoever, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I hear you. I don't think you have to have it. I don't know necessarily what to make of it, but I'm more in the you don't have to have cores than you know, you have to have cores. Now, that said, if the weather comes out and it's 90 degrees with the wind blowing out, then I'll probably change my mind. Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot of other really good spots over here. Fern, we got to talk about the Astros versus fucking Ubaldo Jimenez.
Oh my God.
I when I saw Ubaldo, we don't call Ubaldo by his full name. We just called him Ubaldo.
Yeah, every time I'm making like a note sheet, every time I write Jimenez, I always erase it and replace it with Ubaldo.
Ubaldo. Dude, Ubaldo has been brutal this year.
With the exception of that Blue Jays start.
Yeah, what the fuck happened there? That was so tilting. Oh, my God. Hey, listen to this statistic. Here's a fun one. 3 home runs per 9 to left-handed bats. I think the Rays accounted for most of those that one night on a Friday. XFIP of 4.97, allowing 32 and 36% hard contact to lefties and righties, not striking out anybody. You know, listen, the Astros are the best team in baseball against right-handed pitching. They're going to Camden Yards where – is it hot there, Fern?
Oh, man, it's hot and humid. It's hot nasty. And humid.
This ball is going to be popping off the bat. And we look at the Astros against right-handed pitching. You have all the classic names up at the top of this. You know, I mean, just the guys that you would expect – making serious hard contact. George Springer, Marwin Gonzalez, Jose Altuve, to name three. Of course, Josh Reddick as well at a 35% hard contact rate against right-handed pitching. But here's an interesting thing. Josh, who do you think leads the Astros in WRC Plus as an individual, WRC Plus versus right-handers?
WRC Plus against right-handers. How about Yuli Gurriel?
Oh, close. Not quite. Same family, Marwin Gonzalez, right? That platoon, yeah. Marwin, dude, he is crushing with a 270 ISO, only bettered by George Springer's 273 ISO against right-handed pitching this season. So for me, the Astros versus Ubaldo, this isn't hard, man. Give me Springer. Give me Springer. Give me Reddick. Give me Marwin. Give me Altuve. That's the core. That's the high-priced four-man. Now, I think if you want a little bit of salary relief, you can even go with guys like Carlos Beltran or Jake Marisnyk. If he is somewhere in a decent spot in the lineup, Marisnyk has been getting a little bit more time now that they have some space. But he does strike out quite a bit. But the young fella has been good. The other guy that I want you to keep an eye on, Fern, is the kid that they just called up to replace Correa at shortstop. And I cannot remember his name.
Colin Moran.
I was going to say old Redbeard. He looks like Justin Turner's little brother. So Colin Moran, I'll be interested to see him. He would be a great value piece just to kind of get you a little bit of salary relief down there. Could be an interesting spot, but you know, what they've been doing is they've been putting Marwin and Yuli at first and third and Bregman in at shortstop. So it may not happen, but they called up Moran. This might be a good spot to get his feet wet, right? A little Ubaldo, get you used to the majors, get a little contact on your bat, feel good about yourself. So that could be an interesting place to go as well for some value. But I love this call. Who the fuck is Aaron Blair, and why is this poor soul being subjected to pitch against the Dodgers?
Yeah, Aaron Blair, he is a 25-year-old right-hander that the Braves called up out of AAA Gwinnett. And, yeah, he's a farmhand. You know, this year in AAA, he has thrown 86 innings, just 67 strikeouts in those 86 innings, 40 walks, by the way, 9 homers. So that is really poor. A 1.48 whip, gives up 9 hits per 9 innings, and 7 strikeouts per 9 to 4.2 walks. So he's not very good. Not very good. And he is going to be facing off against the Los Angeles Dollars. They are like dollars because when you use them, they pay you dollars, son.
That's right.
But yeah, he's facing off against the Dodgers. And I, you know, when the Dodgers are facing a lefty, I lock them in. I mean, they are the best team in the league against lefties. But you know, it's not like we're going to shy away from using them against righties. You know, they're still a top five offense overall. So I just think it's not that hard of a choice here. I mean, I'm just trying to see real quick. Shit. Okay. So it just, what Blair's major league. Okay. So he has 70 innings pitched in the majors. Just one time he's been in the majors last year, 70 innings pitched, 70 innings pitched, and it was 15 games started, 7.59 ERA, 1.66 whip, 70 innings pitched, 46 strikeouts, 34 walks, 14 homers. Okay, this guy is garbage, and he's facing off a Garbaggio, and he's facing off against, I mean, arguably, some might say the best offense in baseball. So who do we want to use?
I think that's fair.
Yeah, you know, some say the Nationals, some say the Astros, some say, you know, the Dodgers. I mean, I think it's like that trio up there that you got to pick from. And who are we looking for against this gentleman? And, you know, it all starts, obviously, with Dr. Cody Bellinger, attorney at law. he crushes right-handed pitching. He's got the 1040 OPS, the 385 ISO, the 162 WRC+. He's got the 418 WOBA. We do worry about his strikeouts. He does strike out 30% of the time against right-handed pitching, but as we know, Mr. Aaron Blair does not do anything well, so I'm not really worried about Cody Bellinger striking out against old Blair. Austin Barnes has been faring well this year against righties, 151 WRC+. Justin Turner, Jock Peterson, Corey Seager, Yasiel Puig, Chris Taylor, you know, all of them have well above average WRC pluses. All of them have OPSs in the 800s, Barnes with a 933. So I really think that tomorrow night, like I'm, you know, as I mentioned on Twitter and on the top of the show, like I'm making four lines a night. I'm definitely going to have a full Dodger stack in two, maybe three of my lines. I'm feeling that good about it. And the reason I say two or three is because I want to get some variety, because I want to hit the guys that hit, because this dude's going to be out of the game. I mean, I'd be shocked if he, you know, got into a position to get a win. I mean, third or fourth inning at best.
Okay. I like that call. I mean, anytime you see numbers like that coming out of AAA, I mean, it just – this poor kid, he's going to get destroyed. And, you know, I don't have a lot of insight about the Braves bullpen, but I just don't think it can be that good that we feel comfortable. Like this is, I mean, Vegas is telling us 5 runs here at a minimum. You wouldn't be surprised that line moves. So I love stacking the Dodgers. You don't have to ask me to stack the Dodgers. I'm all in. But the other game that I love, and you have noted here the Reds side of this, but I'm interested in the Marlins side of Marlins Reds in Great American Ballpark. I mean, is there a better place during the middle of the summer to play bats? I mean, this ballpark just, as soon as it gets hot, man, this ball just flies out of there. Absolutely flies. So I really, really like this game, this Miami-Cincinnati game. You have two pitchers, Homer Bailey and Jose Urena, who just aren't good. But I think the Miami side is very interesting to me against Homer Bailey. Homer Bailey has really struggled, to say the least. You know, small sample size, but 515 WOBA to righties, 402 WOBA to lefties. We have a massive ERA, 2 home runs per 9, and, you know, 35% hard contact rate to left-handed hitters. That alone, you know, in this ballpark is definitely an issue. So I'm going straight after the Marlins here. Of course, what we got to remember is the Marlins against righties, the best performers on this team against righties are Marcelo Zuna and Giancarlo Stanton. Both of them are absolutely excellent against right-handed pitchers. You know, with Marcelo Zuna and Giancarlo Stanton, almost 30% home run to fly ball ratios. Unbelievable. Just home run machines. These guys are elite. 37 and 44% hard contact. The other guy you got to pay attention to is my man Justin Bour. Of course, he has a 44% hard contact rate against left-handers. So in this ballpark, these guys are all absolutely in play. I think you could go to Christian Yelich if you wanted to go with a four-man. I don't think you have to go with a four-man here in this situation. You can just go with the three-man, Stanton, Ozuna, and Bour. You know, and you feel pretty good about that. You know, D. Gordon will be batting leadoff probably. But, you know, I don't know. He's not a must-have by any stretch. So
I don't know. I don't want to interrupt you, but I'm going to interrupt you there. I disagree. I think D. Gordon is a must-have in a Marlins stack, and the reason why is because Homer Bailey gives up the most stolen bases per innings pitched of any pitcher on the slate, according to Swish Analytics' stolen base targets tool. So nice. D. Gordon, obviously, we all know, is an elite base stealer. So I don't know, Sean, like, you know, it's possible that we could have like a 2 or 3 bagger, you know, by old D, but he's got to get on base, but you know, he's facing Homer Bailey.
Right. Which, come on, right. If you can't get on base versus Homer Bailey, you can pretty much take your shit and go home.
Yeah. But another guy, and I don't want to, you know, steal your thunder here, but what do you think about JT Realmuto? If you're looking for a catcher, you know,
sometimes Realmuto is good. I just think you're overpaying for catcher position, and he is about as productive as other catchers. Now, he's not bad, you know, and there is stolen base upside, actually. He's a pretty fast catcher.
Yeah.
But I just don't think it's a – I really don't see it as a must-have. You know, I really don't. He's good. He's not great. I would much rather spend my money on those three guys that I mentioned. And they're not inexpensive. You know, they're not, because they're home run machines and people know that. So I love the Marlins side of this. But you're talking about the Reds side of this, Fern. What do you love on the Reds side here?
Yeah, so the Reds are getting Jose Urena. I mean, you said it. Not a very good pitcher. Urena Ills, giving us a 129 FIP minus and a 130 XFIP minus. For context, that is slightly worse in FIP minus than Jimenez. Oh, sorry, Ubaldo. And slightly better than XFIP minus. Same strikeout rate.
a little bit better swinging strike rate. Blah, 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 blah. I mean, like number wise, other than ERA, he's pretty much giving us what Ubaldo is giving us, but a little bit better, So translation, Urania is not good. Okay. And the Reds, the Reds are a team that, you got to pick and choose your spots wisely. Earlier on in the season, they were, pretty hot, and I felt like you could use them, in most spots. Now they've kind of cooled off a bit, and are giving us they're not that terrible. I mean, a 3.32 team WOBA, 100 WRC plus on the nose. Don't strike out a ton. They don't hit a ton of homers, but the Reds have an ability to have an explosive game. So I think that is pretty likely against Urania. So who do I like? Obviously everything starts with Joey Votto. Joey Votto is just otherworldly. He's an amazing hitter. Just one of the best hitters in the league. And facing Urania, you got to feel good about his chances to take 1 yard. And then Scooter Gennett, against right-handed pitching, other than strikeouts and walks, Gennett has basically done everything Votto has. Votto never strikes out and takes an insane amount of walks. Gennett strikes out, at a 21% clip and walks at only 6.6%. But as far as, slugging, OPS, ISO, WOBA, WRC+, everything is pretty much neck and neck between them. So I like Gennett as another option against Urania. And then, of course, you got Zach Cozart. And then you could just pick somebody, after that trio. Adam Duvall or Scott Schebler would probably be my duo of guys to pick from for my fourth spot.
Okay.
So I feel like the Reds could really get into Urania, and like you said, that ballpark is juicy.
That ballpark is so juicy, man. I love it. I'm into it. I think it's a fun little game stack too.
And people are not going to be on this. Like the Reds and the Marlins are just like overlooked, non-sexy teams.
Oh no, absolutely. Absolutely. So, speaking of non-sexy teams, we got a couple more non-sexies. You got Dodgers and Astros. Okay. That's our sex appeal. Fine. You're talking Mets here, Fern, against Paul Blackburn. And Paul Blackburn, similar to Aaron Blair, a guy coming up for the A's, who, wannabe ground ball pitcher who just really is not getting it done. Now, the guy is limiting hard contact. You got to give him that. But I don't know. He's gotten through six innings. He's given up multiple hits. We've seen the Mets, against ground ball pitchers. They are pretty solid. They lit up the, against teams that don't have good strikeout stuff. They lit up Mike Leake. They've lit up Carlos Martinez before. So what do you like here about the Mets versus Blackburn?
Yeah, Blackburn, he's only got 19 innings pitched this year in three starts. He is giving us the perception that he is, a solid arm. But if you look deeper than just ERA and hard contact, two things that can experience extreme variance in a small sample size. This is a guy that is only striking out in those starts 10.3% of batters, which is the worst on the slate. He's generating 6.3% swinging strikes, which is the worst on the slate. Batters are making a lot of contact on his pitches in the zone. And he is willing, and this is what I like. I really like that he is willing to throw pitches in the zone 49.3% zone percentage, which is 11th on the slate. He is willing to throw pitches in the zone, and he is not going to kill you with walks. So, like, sometimes there's guys that they nibble a lot, and I think that if you jump all over a stack, what might happen is that that guy walks a ton of guys. The team can't get any rally going because the guy's not willing to throw him down Main Street. And Blackburn is. So, you know, he could definitely get shelled in this game just because of the simple fact that he is going to throw you strikes and that he can't strike you out. So who do we like on the Mets against righties? They have a ton of lefties. I mean, everybody knows that it all starts with Conforto, Bruce, and Duda. These are guys that have elite WRC plus, all with 900 plus OPS. I definitely am going to start my build with those three. Pick somebody. I mean, nobody else really stands out significantly. I mean, maybe Granderson, Cespedes, depending on what the starting lineup's looking like. Maybe you'll get a cheap TJ Rivera in there. I don't know if I would chase a full four-man stack, but I like that Conforto due to Bruce, maybe Asdrubal Cabrera. But that first trio really is appealing to me against this Joker.
Yep, I think that's rock solid. I like that call a lot. I love the Mets. They make a lot of hard contact, and when they start getting going, they really get going.
They do.
So I think the other pivot on the board has to be the Royals against James Shields.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I think we have to look at the Royals versus James Shields. James Shields, we just saw the Royals versus a righty. They just destroyed straight out of the box Michael Fulmer, and now they're getting James Shields, who is easily, two times worse pitcher than Fulmer here. Shields giving up tons and tons of hard contact, tons of specifically to lefties. An xFIP was 7.9 to lefties, walking more batters than he's striking out to left-handers, and a total of 35% hard contact rate. I mean, 55% fly ball rate to left-handed batters. I mean, it's not hard, Josh. We're going straight after all the lefties in this lineup. Hosmer and Moustakas are obviously elite plays against him. But you know who actually has the highest hard contact rate against? Well, I'll just let you guess. Who has the highest hard contact rate against right-handed pitching, Fern, on the Royals? Come on.
Let me think here. How about you said Moustakas?
Moustakas and Hosmer are obviously elite.
It's got to be the man, Sal Perez.
Sal Perez.
Yeah, buddy.
Sal Perez. It's another Sal Perez night. I've rostered Sal Perez like every single night this week. Of course, this is the night that they go off in unbelievably tilting. But yeah, man, I mean, that's the core three. Moustakas, Hosmer, Sal Perez. I love those guys. I think you could also probably look at, Jorge Bonifacio or Lorenzo Cain. But Whit Merrifield, man, 43% fly ball rate. He's probably going to be batting leadoff. He just went yard as we speak. He just left the park. So I have no problem with, Whit the shit, Merrifield. it's not actually a bad idea to even look at the opposite side of this. Ian Kennedy gives up so much hard contact too. Problem is with the White Sox, I can't in good conscience necessarily recommend the White Sox because against Kennedy, because they don't have any lefties.
Mm-hmm.
If they had any lefties, then I would absolutely be all in against Ian Kennedy because he's given up so much hard contact to lefties. But It's really, really hard. It's really hard to see who you might be able to get that can actually hit righties in this White Sox lineup. So
yeah, I mean, you could do like a mini stack with like Garcia, Avisel Garcia,
right?
You know, maybe
Melky,
you know. But
yeah,
I agree with you, definitely.
Yeah, I wonder actually. I'm gonna do. No, I was gonna look to see if there's any BVP. It's just not up.
I just got to. You know, the NA spots where you can in season long leagues on Yahoo, where you can save your minor leaguers in like a dynasty or a keeper league. I just got to call up my boy. I don't even know how to say his first name.
Yoan Moncada.
Tomato, tomato. So I'm excited about him.
No, yeah, he's filthy.
Todd Frazier and the Yankees.
Todd Frazier on the Yankees. How about that? All right. Well, hey, Fern, let's do the thing where we go over to FanDuel and we each make a lineup, try to figure out what we're going to do here.
Sounds good.
In this one. So you want to start or you want me to start?
I can start. I think you've started the last couple weeks, so I'll let you kind of ponder while I talk this through. So like I said during the pitcher segment, I'm definitely going to be trying my best to roster, you know, like a Nola or a Samardzija or a Cahill, maybe even a Fiers. So for those of you that are willing to take the risk of not using Sale, Scherzer, or Wood, or Darvish, I guess, why don't we just call it in the middle and start with our boy Jeffrey Samardzija. You know, what was it, 8,800? Okay, and you know, and you could obviously, if you disagree with me, I mean, you could bump up to Nola. You could bump down to Fiers or Cahill, you know, but that is up to you. Let's look at hitters. You know, the Dodgers, I mean, forget about it. The Dodgers are going to be crushing without a doubt in my mind. So it's going to start for me with, you know, the big boys, Corey Seager, Cody Bellinger. Who else do I like? I guess Justin Turner and Austin Barnes. Now, obviously, Austin Barnes isn't guaranteed to start. Grandal could start, but we'll just throw Barnes in there because of the fact that he does have that elite WRC plus, those numbers against righties. So we've got a Barnes, Bellinger, Turner, Seager stack. Who else do we like? I mean, we like the Reds. So if we
get you some Reds.
Yeah, let me get some Reds up in here.
Wait, so what is Urena? I got to look up what Urena does against righties because I am a Zach Cozart fan to say the least.
Yeah, go look up what he does against righties because Cozart's numbers against righties are very solid.
Very solid.
So we want to make sure that that lines up well. But Scooty Scoots, definitely in my lineup. Now, you know, I got Bellinger in there, who is just 200 less than Votto. So if you like Votto more than Bellinger, knock yourself out. And Seager, 3,900. He is approximately, where the hell is... Why isn't Cozart coming up here?
Cozart's 33.
Okay, 33. Yeah, so Cozart's 33, so you could save $6,000 there if you or $600 if you prefer. So I'll go Scooter and like Adam Duvall.
Dude, I was gonna say you could go Scoots and Scotty Shebs.
Yeah, Scoots and Scotty Shebs. If I go Scoots and Scotty Shebs over Duvall, then that'll save me $600. Let's go Scoots and Scotty Shebs, Scotty Skizzle. So now I got 3,200 left. What team do I like?
For outfield?
two outfielders. Houston 32. Astros.
You could go to the Houston Astros. You can get Josh Reddick and a plus one. Josh Reddick's date.
So Joshua Reddick and...
Can you get...
Oh, my God, dude. Holy...
Marwin?
Oh, shit. Marwin's a first baseman now. Oh, no, fuck. No, they moved him to shortstop.
Shortstop?
Yeah.
What is this nonsense?
Yeah. No, Marwin is... Because Marwin was their utility... If you remember, he was their utility guy. Damn, dude. Marwin at short. Holy shit.
Marwin at shortstop. You heard it here first, you guys. Marwin at shortstop.
Wow. Okay, so Marwin's at short. Fuck. Okay, and Gurriel's 3,300 at first. Beltran. I don't want Beltran. Damn, dude. That fucks my shit up. How about... Okay, so fuck it. So let's take... Okay. Damn it! I don't want to. So who would I rather take out, Seager or Bellinger? Damn it! Neither.
No, that's an emotionally complex decision.
That is okay.
Who are you more? You know, who do you have more loyalty to? I guess is the question.
Well, what has Bellinger done lately? Bellinger has exceeded his salary 30% of the time over the last 10 games. Seager has done it 30% of the time the last 10 games. God, they're just so expensive. I think that's why. Like, they're not having bad games. They're just really expensive.
Yeah, truly.
Okay. So if I went off of Samardzija then and I replaced him with Mike Fiers, who is 8,400, I have 3,900 for my outfield spot. And I can get like Ozuna against Bailey.
There you go, baby.
So there you go. Okay, so you know, obviously you can change things up if you're so inclined. Mike Fiers at starting pitcher, Barnes, Bellinger, Jeanette at catcher first and second, Turner, Seager, Shebs at third, short, and outfield, and then Reddick and Ozuna at the last two outfield spots. So you got a full nice Dodgers stack, a mini Red stack, and then two one-offs from Houston and Miami. You got Houston, Josh Reddick going against Baldy, and Ozuna going against Homer.
I like that. I like that a lot.
I'm going to save that. Screenshot, baby. All right, so while you are talking through yours, I'm going to run and grab my laptop charger real quick.
Do it, do you think?
BRB, guys.
So for me, I'm looking at Trevor Cahill here. Nice price, $8,600. You know, similar price to Samardzija. We like those guys a lot. You guys know that. This is, you know, obviously a tournament lineup. And what I'm starting with is that Miami stack, that Boer, Stanton, Ozuna, 1-2-3, boom. And then I'm going to add into the mix a value stack of Houston Astros because, you know we're going to move that lineup around. We're going to have to try to get some leverage on the field there. You know, in that case, I'm going to probably go to Marwin and Reddick, maybe Alex Bregman. I could go down to Colin Moran if need be, but Altuve is just a little bit too pricey. If I wanted Stanton in there, I can't really have Altuve, so that's kind of challenging. But then I can go with Scooter at second base, one of my favorite plays at second base just for price. And I have $2,600 at catcher, and that would put me on
a million guys,
a million and one guys. That's plenty of money.
Avila against Urban Santana.
Yeah. Yeah.
Manny. I mean, that's actually
Manny, Avila. Yeah. That's exactly where you need to be. Alex Avila versus Urban Santana. Boom, baby. So yeah, Boer, Stanton, Ozuna, Reddick, Bregman, and Marwin. You know, I don't know how much I love that, but I'm going to fool with it. And, you know, I love the fact that I can get Miami and Houston in there, a little bit of leverage with the Miami lineup. You know, And Houston offense that should be pretty productive against Ubaldo, regardless of who is in there. So definitely some good pitching options out here tonight, man. Some awesome pitching options.
Did we miss anything? We missed the Yankees against Andrew Moore.
I know. God, I was going to say, you're going to need a Yankee. You might want a Yankees one-off.
What do you think about Steven Matz against the A's?
No. I just can't do it.
Let me rephrase that. What do you think about the A's against Steven Matz is what I meant to say.
Yeah, he's bad. Against lefties right now. I just can't say that that's a great idea.
Well, so what if we run into an Orioles against Cole Hamill scenario?
Orioles against Cole Hamill.
Because remember, that's the concern, is the Orioles are garbage against lefties and the A's are garbage against lefties, but Matz is striking out 15% of batters, which is,
I know, and he's like allowing like 37% hard contact.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Red Sox against Ricky Nolasco and Indians against Marco Estrada.
I know. This slate is loaded, dude.
It is.
This slate is loaded.
I think it's really, honestly, I think for me, what I'm going to do is I think that I'm going to just lock in the Dodgers or the Astros, either one. I have to think about it. And then just kind of one-off or mini-stack in my four lines, the remaining spots.
Fair enough.
Because there's much exposure I want to get.
Yeah, I know. I'm looking right now at... I'm looking right now at a Royals stack, and it's pretty sexy too. Royals three man, Sal Perez, Hosmer, Moustakas is so damn affordable. So affordable.
It really is.
You mix that with the Reds, like you can easily go with a very affordable Kansas City stack with some Reds bats. And feel like you aren't punting too much.
Mm-hmm. Here's one, and then I guess we can wrap up. If you want to add anything, obviously, it's your show. Yeah. But the Nationals against Zach Godley. I know that, especially if you're like in the gigantic GPPs, you really want to get some... variance in your line/lines, most likely lines, and right. The Nationals are, as we all know, an elite offense, and Godley, I mean, so far this year is an elite pitcher, but just like your boy Trevor Cahill, the dude nibbles like crazy, so the right. Nationals could possibly get a little something going there.
No, I feel that. The Nationals in the desert? I mean, are you kidding me?
Right. Come on. Right.
That's pretty nice.
Agreed.
All right, Fern. Hey, Josh Fern on Twitter at LineupLogicDFS. Good luck in your contests, and we will see you tomorrow.
Later, dudes and dudettes. Peace out. Later. Good luck.
Peace out and good luck to all. And to all a good night.